I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming up on TMS, somebody wake Billy Joel Osment.
The tallest idiot.
Cheddar-flavored cheese product.
Kirkland in, Kirkland out.
Under the door YouTube fart noises.
Confusing excrement placement.
The smell of a giant sausage bomb.
Why am I in your saw dreams?
I like to hump things around the house.
Chocolate.
That got longer, even though it's the first time I've heard it. Are Girl Scout cookies made of real Girl Scouts? Because I really, like, wanted to know.
Free products from blue-haired ladies.
Made with non-holographic cheese.
Accidental motorboats.
Sudden sneezes with Steven Schleicher and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I will personally go to each and every one of your homes. And shit in places that will leave you confused for the rest of your lives.
And my brain is like,
I drink to quiet the voices in my head. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everyone and all, and welcome back to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Monday, September 26, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. He's Brian Ibbett. Good morning, Brian.
Hello and happy Monday to you.
Yeah, baby.
The last week of September. September ends the end of this week, Scott.
Somebody, it's the old joke, somebody let
That's right.
Billy Joel Osment, no, what's his
sure.
name?
Maybe Billy Joe Armstrong. Billy Joel Osment. I see green people.
He sees dead. Yeah, he sees green people. I don't know why I thought
American
of his name.
Idiots.
We hope you're all well. I feel like September, I know we say this a lot, but September truly went too fast. Like,
yeah.
Poof, gone, bam.
And I just, will, you know, normally I'm the one like, no, always goes the same speed, Scott. Bah, bah, bah. But. Boy, howdy, are you right, man. It just feels like it flew by. And I think it's because for us in Colorado and for you as well, it's coming off of a huge heat wave into fall weather. And it seems like we just got dropped into cooler weather instantly without that kind of gradient filter, that kind of middle ground that we usually
get. They did not ease us in. There was no slow...
No
entry into the cooler weather, which I love, by the way. I love it. But usually there's some transition and you got a couple days where you're like, maybe wear a jacket this morning, but later it'll be, you know,
exactly.
T-shirts again.
Do I shorts and a t-shirt? No, do I do long pants and a long sleeve shirt? Crazy. Yeah.
What's weird?
None of that.
It's weird that more than half of my vacation was the part of this month. I get home. Hit the ground running, got a bunch of stuff going on. Then we had all the nightmarish last week that happened. Oh, I should probably tell people the latest if they haven't heard. He ended up passing away, my brother-in-law. His organs couldn't take it. It just started falling apart.
Too much damage from the...
Way too much damage. Funeral is this week. The way we're doing it, because a whole bunch of people... There's other people like me where they're like, I can't take additional time off, but... The siblings are all going, so Kim, her brother, all of her other sisters, they're all going to go at the same time, rent a van together, just sort of like do the whole thing together. And they're
gonna road trip up to Oregon.
They're gonna actually fly and then rent a van while they're there. So they're flying.
Gotcha.
I wasn't very clear about that. You're right. That wasn't making sense. But anyway, so they're gonna do that, get a van, hang out up there, and be there for I think. well, from Thursday to Sunday. So spend some extra time helping her out or whatever. And beyond that, I don't know anything else. There's still like a ton of mysteries around it. We don't know what the investigation looks like at this stage. We don't know what body cam footage looks like. Like all that stuff is just like, we don't know anything about it. But the other problem is Carter's got some stuff which is going to take her away, which means I've got three dogs and a cat I got to take care of. And Taylor's also due like any
Right. Oh, geez.
That baby's coming in the next week or two. So we're hoping Kim doesn't end up accidentally missing that, because the goal is to try to get in there, get out, get home, be here for the birth.
Yeah.
And then so I'm gearing up for the potential of being like the guy, you know, that's around.
Right.
For that. So there's just a lot going on. And yesterday we went to a big family thing on my side of the family, who all happened to be in town from Arizona and other places, Florida and a few places for a whole other funeral that has nothing to do with any of this. And it's on my brother's wife's side.
I saw the Twitter photo of the whole damn family. Wow. Yeah.
And that's not even all of them. That's just like a subsection. But ironically, not ironically, the truth of it is I am the tallest idiot in the family, and you can see this. I'm going to put this up chat so you guys can see it real quick here, but it's pretty embarrassing. Let's see, where is it? Oh, I lost it. Well, it's on Twitter. You can go see it. But if you're looking for, just look for who's the tallest in the back. That's me. I'm not tiptoeing. Right. I'm not standing on anything. That's just freaking me. Everybody's shorter than me. And anyway, that was really fun. We had 9 pizzas from Sam's Club. You ever done that? You ever have a pizza from Sam's Club?
I've never had a Sam's Club pizza. I've had a Costco pizza, and I can't imagine it's much different from that.
It's a little bit better only in one way. You know how, so most pizzas, especially cheap pizzas, a lot of crust. They make up for volume and crust. The rest of it's fine, but it's almost like, hey, eat all the bread you can because that's all we're giving you for $8 or whatever. Sam's Club, I will give them credit for this. They tend to make the pizza go out further on the edge with less big fatty crust on the side.
Okay.
So they feel like a better New York style pizza overall, but they're still a little, you know, the cheese isn't the best.
I mean, it's, you know, it's a grocery store, but what do they consider those?
I don't know what you call those, like the take home and bake kind.
No, I mean those kinds of stores, the Sam's Club, Costco, they are, Your big box stores.
Right. Yeah. They call them big box still, or is that an old thing? Maybe they don't know.
Maybe big box. Yeah. Big box or discount warehouse. Warehouse was the word I was trying to think of. But
I always call them the place with a bunch of blue haired ladies giving me free samples. That's what I call them.
Yeah. The place where you can buy cheese product and blue jeans. Yeah. And it comes from the same company.
Yep.
You not want cheese, some but cheese product.
That's right. You want some chili?
Cheddar-flavored cheese product.
You want some toilet paper? We got you. Whatever you need, you're going to eat the chili, and you're going to wipe your butt with the same brand. Good luck.
That's right. It's all Kirkland. Kirkland in, Kirkland out.
That's right. So we did that and took all these pizzas over there. I smelled like a giant sausage bomb when I got there, and it was just nice to see everybody. Actually, it was actually kind of cathartic to have all this family in town, and it went fine. And my crazy Korean brother. Oh, by the way, my Korean brother. Yeah. I don't know why I have to call him that. He's just, it's like Chris Brown. I call him my Korean brother.
Yes, exactly. He's Korean brother.
Yeah, that's my new excuse. When people say, why do you always have to say he's your Korean brother? I'll say, because Brian has to call Chris Brown, Chris Brown. And they'll say, wait, who's Brian? I don't listen to your shows. And then it'll be a whole thing.
But Matt doesn't say, you must refer to me as the Korean brother.
No, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's like, whatever you want to call me. But anyway, he's going to launch a YouTube channel. And he's going to do... So he's trying to decide, because he does 3 things he really likes doing. 4 things. He likes to cook, and he's amazing.
Yeah.
Cook. He likes to travel. They just went to Prague.
Ooh, wow.
Cool. And they like to do it in a way where they spend hardly any money. It's all like weird coupons and strange, because they're so cheap.
Love it. Oh, man. He's a man after my own heart.
Yeah. Hardcore penny pincher. You know, as my dad used to say, pinches that nickel so hard, the Indians riding the buffalo is what he used to say. anyway, so he does that. And then he also has got a motorcycle he's rebuilding. And then lastly, he likes to do DIY stuff around the house. And he's like, I think I'm going to do all that stuff for my channel. I said, Matt, you need to pick a lane.
Yeah.
And then the other stuff can be offshoots of the lane, you know. So let's say it's cooking, which is what I think you should do.
Yeah.
Focus on the cooking and your weird freaking personality, which you just have naturally. And you just cook and cook and cook. And then occasionally you go to Prague and you talk about the food you had there. Like,
exactly. Right.
Tie it in. You right.
Make that one an extension. I don't know how you make the DIY and the repair, car repair.
Yeah, that's harder.
Part of a food, food channel. But, you know, hey, you can figure out a way to do it.
Yeah. Maybe you could just do like, hey, what's a good, my own homemade pizza rolls while I work on this motorcycle engine. I don't.
Exactly. I don't. Let's rebuild the carburetor and make poutine.
Yeah. So it's, so there's lots of possibilities and I'm actually really sure. encouraging him to do it, but he's having this. So this goes out to anyone out there who's like, they want to try something online, but they're nervous to do it. He's having the ready, aim, ready, aim, ready, aim problem.
Yeah.
He's having a hard time firing.
That's the problem, yeah.
So I'm having him over on Saturday, and we're going to like have a little strategy. Because I think he's just a freaking wackadoo, my brother. He knows English. He's fluent in Korean still. And the accent is ridiculous. And people laugh at it, not for like, what a weird Chinese person kind of like racist sort of way, but in kind of like a very endearing kind of thing he has going.
Yes.
And he's really funny and goofy. And like yesterday, I'm taking a pee and at my sister's house, a door shut on the bathroom. It's down there on the main floor. He slips his phone under the door and it's playing a YouTube video of fart noises. Like that, this is the kind of adult that he is.
Oh my god.
So anyways, I really want him to do this and I want it to be a big thing. And he's not currently working as a URL, but he's registered YouTube, or he's locked in youtube.com/dingpong, if you can believe it. And so there's some of that. But anyway, well, I'll let you guys know what we end up doing and I'll send you to his channel and all that.
It's cool. Very cool.
Brian, I real quick had a dream.
Sure.
And it had you in it. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Okay. All right.
I hope you're ready for this one.
I'm ready. I might have looked ahead. I might have already read this, but...
it's a little shocking.
I'm going to let it wash over me like I'm hearing it for the first time.
It's a little shocking. So in this dream, Skeletor was there. Okay.
Sure.
Nemesis to He-Man. You know the guy.
That one. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Skeleton for a head. Very.
Not the recent photo of Tom Brady.
No. But gosh, Skeletor. Dude, somebody give Tom Brady a pizza, for example. He looks really too thin. I don't like it.
He does. Very gaunt. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not his usual build. Anyway, Skeletor's there. And Skeletor, of course, is skeleton head, but the rest of him is muscle man, which makes no sense. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he's there in his usual thing. He's got his staff and everything. And Brian is there, strapped to a gurney.
Okay.
I'm there in a chair, being forced to watch this. And one by one, and you, by the way, are not having any reaction. You're just sort of plain faced through the whole thing. He's biting off each one of your toes, starting with the left foot pinky, and then moving.
That'd be the easiest place to start.
It would be, right? Smaller bites and all that.
Yeah, exactly.
Moving toward the big toe, and then another big toe, and then back down to the pinky. So that progression. And you're slowly having your toes bitten off by Skeletor, and it's all very gory. There's blood, there's bones, there's all and he's just going, this foot is great, I'm so glad I'm eating his toes, this kind of talk.
And he's eating it, he's not biting it and then spitting out the toes.
No, he's chewing and swallowing your toes.
Okay, all right.
And you're just sitting there grooving on it. You're just chilling. Like
just
nothing.
Plain face. Well, wait, am I grooving on it or am I plain face? That's a totally different dream.
No, that's a good point. It would be like if someone had injected your legs with some sort of anesthetic and now you can't feel it. Okay, but you're not, but you're also not upset by what you're viewing. You're just sort of like looking, staring.
It's,
and you look
like,
at me.
Speaking of Ray Liotta, it's like when Hannibal Lecter is feeding him his own brain. He's just kind of like, oh, okay, I'll eat this.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's exactly what it was like. Except he wasn't, except you weren't talking. You were just sort of like, doody doody doo. And I look, and you'd look at me once in a while. You just kind of look at me and kind of like nod your head, like, hey, what's up? You
know? Hey. Yeah. I'm still strapped to that chair.
Yeah. He'd look back over at Skeletor and he'd be chewing on your middle toe, left foot, whatever. And that was the dream. And it went on until all your toes were gone. I don't know what's going on, dude. I don't know what this dream is about.
In one dream, I'm headless on an office chair. Another one, Skeletor's eating my feet. What is this? Am I in your Saw dreams, Scott?
I don't know. Why am I in these dreams forced to see this? Why do I have to see it? You know what I mean? Like, why am I? I don't mean just see the dream. I mean, why in the dream am I so like audience to it. I don't get that part.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because you have to be there to experience the dream. You know.
Yeah.
You need to be aware of it.
Sure. It's not,
like, yeah, I had a dream that this happened to you, but I wasn't there, so I don't know. I just heard about it.
Yeah, you just heard about it through channels. I mean, I just felt, well, by the time this thing was done, I kind of woke up going, well, that's it. I'm not sleeping now. I'm done. Yeah. I may as well just get up. What are we even doing? This isn't, it's not like I can go back and have, like, I was actually physically, mentally worried that if I went back to sleep, I would re-enter the dream where I left it, because that happens really, sometimes.
Right. Yeah, it was like, yeah, right, where you just pick up where you left off.
Yeah, I don't.
I find that if I have a crap dream or a stress dream or anything like that, all I have to do is just roll over onto my other side. I'm a side sleeper, and I just flip over onto my other side, and it's almost like a control delete. And it's like, oh, okay, you just reset. You turned off the switch, turned it back on, and undocked it, and now it's a whole new dream.
I want to be like you because I can't do that. It's really hard. I can do the side thing. That's how I sleep too. I sleep on the side. Yeah. If I ever end up on my back, I'm snoring. I can't do that.
It sounds like a wild animal.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yes, that's still what happens to me, even with the CPAP. If I'm on my back, my nose closes up, my mouth opens, and I'm like, yeah. So it's like, nope. CPAP only works if I'm on my side.
Yeah, Tally.
But
I know.
Boy,
you,
does it work! Like,
I know Tally. She's screaming in the chat. She explained this before, and she has. But you haven't explained why I keep having the recurring dreams about Brian getting chewed up.
Yeah.
And now what I'd really like to know is how to reset it the way Brian just did. Like his little flip the switch by turning over. I would love to do that. Can I teach that? Can I learn that?
I'm sure.
I mean, do you have to mentally go click? I'm done with that dream. Moving over, rolling over, reset. Like, how do you mentally do it? Do you actually throw a switch? Do you feel like?
I think it's that my mind, that I've told my mind that doing that will reset. You know, it's like, what's a good example of that mind over matter BS, right? Like, it's, you know, you've trained your body that if you pinch your pinky, you'll remember this other thing. Like, you've just basically created a connection between two different things, me rolling over and wiping my mind of the dream I just had to start a new one.
Is that Pavlovian conditioning?
Yeah, exactly.
That's it?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, you're Pavlov's dog, and you figured it out. I have not.
That's right. And then I salivate all over the pillow.
That's right. I hump things. That's what I do. I hump things. Hump objects around the house. So
Sure. Of course. Yeah, that's good.
My wife's getting really sick of it. Anyway.
I have to keep replacing the pillows.
So I'm going to try tonight not to have a dream like that, and hopefully you will not be tortured in another dream.
Yes, thank you. Please.
Yeah, I'm going to work on that.
Can I don't know, maybe win the lottery? Can I drive a Tesla in your dream? I've been wanting to test drive a Tesla and see what I think of it. Could I do that in your dream, Scott?
You know what? I'll give it a shot.
Let me know what I think about it.
Let me see if I can Pavlov that tonight. I'll get that going.
Please do. Yes, I'd appreciate that.
I'll see what I can do. Real quick here, we got a Canadian one of these.
Canada!
Send and receive email.
This is from Jeff Sire, our old friend Bronco up in Grafton, Ontario. And he wanted to talk to us, so I'm going to read his email.
Okay.
Bored with Funerals is his subject title. So Scott and Brian, before you start making assumptions, I just want to say I didn't really care about the Queen one way or the other, but there is not really anything there for you guys. Imagine how it must be for anyone who isn't American watching the 30 hours of pregame of Americana before the Super Bowl. It's a good point. Well, it depends. I mean, that stuff before the Super Bowl sometimes depends on the network that's doing it, but I don't like it either.
That bores the tar out of me, too.
I don't care.
I don't need to see everybody showing up to, you know, to the event or hear 18 different versions of are you ready for some football or any of that.
With you 100%.
No.
Yeah.
You're
talking to the wrong Americans. We like Super Bowl, but we don't like all that fluff before. I hate it. Also, for the record, I don't like all the fluff in between events when I watch any Olympics. I don't like fluff. How about that?
I don't care about, you know, I'll watch the award shows. I really don't give a crap about the red carpet and that sort of thing. Unless, you know, I'll if there's a highlight of somebody doing something goofy and weird, I'll see that in you know, a few days after. But sure. No, I don't care.
Yeah, if somebody biffs it and, like, Javier Bardem falls.
I want to see that, please. Yeah.
Accidentally motorboats somebody. I'd laugh at that, but that's it. here's what he says. Sure. He says, Brett Favre is reading a line from a Declaration of Independence. Wow. Who knew that guy could read? Well, that's a good question. Have you read his text lately? Good Lord, that guy. He's in trouble right now.
Really? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Had you heard about that? What he did?
Yeah, the welfare scandal, right?
Yeah, what a douche.
I know. Now he's off of a podcast. Oh,
that's too bad.
First it's texting pictures of your tiny ween with your giant Super Bowl ring. It's like, oh, well, I guess no one will ever figure out this was me. Yeah. But now it's welfare scandal.
Now it's that. And before that, when my wife was briefly a sophomore while he was a senior in high school, he was a real big douche in high school. I guess what I'm trying to say is douchey behavior doesn't leave when you become massively rich. Douchey behavior tends to follow you wherever you go. And now he is a capital D douche.
Oh,
yeah, it's real shame.
Capital D douche.
He says, if you were born and raised in Commonwealth country up there or anywhere that the Queen has a Commonwealth, she has been there our whole lives. I was in the Queen's own Rifles of Canada. Our provincial legislature in Toronto is a Queen's Park. The bagpipe lament is Ode to Fallen Piper. I hear it every Remembrance Day, where we also, until this year, would sing God Save the Queen. No matter what anyone, even Claire, thought. I love that he called Claire out. Is Claire here today?
Specifically Claire. Even Claire.
She's not here today. Dang it. I want her to hear this.
Oh, she will. She'll hear this probably when it's a podcast.
That's
something.
A shame. Says, I thought of her, and you can't deny the thread that has been woven through the fabric of our lives and the histories of our countries. But you guys don't have that, so you imagine one of your Yay, Where Americans Fest appears to those who aren't American. No, we get it. We know. We know this.
Yeah, we know. We know the funeral is not for us. So exactly. We get it.
Yeah, never once in any of this process have I been like, I don't get why they're... I get it. I get it.
Why is the Queen so popular? I don't get it.
He says, I just happened to be in London visiting my sister. The trip ended a lot different than we had planned because of the funeral. Oh, I didn't know he was over there. That's cool. It's still been a great trip. We didn't line up for the public viewing or anything, but the motorcycle or motorcade did pass about 1 mile from my sister's place. So isn't it miles over there, though? Look, you can't take your Canadian space points over there.
That's right. Yeah, where is it? What's it going to be? Pick a lane, pick a side.
Yeah, pick a bit. Are you going to go an extra mile? Or would you walk 500 miles? Or would you walk 600 point something kilometers? Anyway.
Right.
I don't know what the conversion is. He says, let's see. So we did walk and see them up on the way to Windsor. He included a couple of pictures, so I didn't put those out here. But basically, it's just a shot of a car with a covered thing where her... I guess her coffin was. Anyway, no, Jeff, we totally get it, dude. You know, we have our things. Everyone's got their things. That's culture for you. You know, did I care when, or did it really, you know, freak me out? I'm trying to think of a good one. Who died somewhere and it was like a giant deal there? Oh, yeah, JFK. You know what? Did you all lose your minds? When JFK died or when MLK died?
Something
or,
that was, you know, that we were alive for. I mean...
Well, that's true. Okay. Well, see, 9/11 doesn't count because everyone did kind
of
freak out.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah, the whole world was affected by that. But,
this is the problem with Americans.
Rainbow Bright says Betty White.
Yeah, but Betty White was an international treasure. She was all over the place. Yeah.
Princess Diana. That's a good one. Although that's British. That's UK.
Yeah, that's UK. We did react to that one pretty hard, though. We did. She was the rebel, man. She was like, you know why? Because in the royal structure, she was the royal.
Was us.
Yeah, the royal family was old Britain, old colonial Britain, and she was rebellious America. That's why we glommed
on her. She was
rampage.
She was Lollapalooza. She was, you know, she was all that stuff.
Hell yeah.
She was punk rock.
Hell yeah. Gilbert Godfrey says the chat. Yep, that's it, Biocal. Yeah, that's
Norm
MacDonald,
Robin Williams. Yeah. Tell you about other people who've died that.
Well, Norm MacDonald's Canadian, so he's a bad example.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We love him, but Canada probably mourned him as much as we did. I ended up subscribing to like 15 different Norm MacDonald clip channels on TikTok, and my feed is almost entirely Norm MacDonald jokes, which is fine.
The gift that keeps on giving, right?
It never stops. He apparently, you know. Especially when he did his little YouTube show he did for a few years.
Yes.
Some gold in there, man. Such good stuff.
No kidding. I think you sent me a link from one of those, and it was great.
So funny. Anyway, thank you, Jeff, for your email. We appreciate it. And I guess God didn't save the queen this time. I don't know. Well, save the king now. Now you got your weird king with the huge ears and the pen problems. He'll be fine. You got
God, it. Save the king. Fascist regime.
Yeah, that's right. Get out your sex and your pistols. Let's go.
That's right. Go.
Brian, we have for the world to hear one of these.
Be courteous and obey traffic regulations.
It's a Lyft story. What happened?
Lyft story. So, did some lifting, of course, end of last week and over the weekend. And one of my pickups was, you know, I won't go into this, but kind of irritated. I do this thing when I'm ready to call it quits for a night, and I use this thing called destination mode. And what it basically says is I plop a little pushpin on the map and say, only give me rides that take me towards my home. Right. And that way I can start making my way to the house. I might get a ride or two on the way, but it doesn't send me back the other direction.
Sure.
Except for Thursday night, when it completely sent me in the opposite direction.
So it works until it doesn't, is what you're saying. Okay.
Works great. Until it doesn't. This is the only time it's never worked. I'm thinking that something must have reset, or like, you know, a street counter reset and reset all my destinations or something. I don't know what any, but I was ready to go home. Tristan and Kay were coming over to show us their new tattoos. And so I wanted to be home. We were all going to have dinner together, but no. So I'm way on the other side of town, and I get sent even further up to the Brighton Detention Center to pick up somebody who's just been released. And his mom, who showed up there and didn't speak for the whole ride, except until the very end, she started talking on the phone, all in Spanish. But the whole rest of the time, dude who was in the detention center, who some mysterious story that he didn't go into that happened in Vegas the same weekend I was there, with the women who walk up and down the strip dressed as showgirls.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, they pissed him off really bad with their demands for money after taking a picture. And he's, I'm not going to go into the story. He's like, no, that's the story I want to hear. You end up in detention? What did you do? Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah.
So, 2 weeks. Anyway, but the whole time, it's, you know, he's just gone through 2 weeks of therapy, and it's obviously really helped him, but it's also like given him like a very positive outlook on life that he wants to spill out to everybody around him about, you know, there's the seven deadly sins, you got to stay away from those. And I had a lot of wrath and some envy and some of this, and it's like, yeah, totally get it, you got to kind of stay away from that. And then he goes into the Bible well, you know, the problem with the world today is that we have knowledge. You know, it comes from the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve eating the fruit from the tree of knowledge. And the problem is that now we have knowledge. I'm like, well, I don't think it's quite that, you know, like I think.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a big one. They love using that as a way to.
I know.
To,
it's like, know. No, I think that's, you know, I didn't like. Are you just like, oh, get me through this ride? And of course, these are the rides that are like 35, 40 minutes long. And it's just like, oh my God, how can I get through this? I'm like, again, you know, pressing the gas pedal harder and harder with every comment that comes out of his mouth.
Sure.
So I said, well, all right, well, cool. There's no conversation for a while.
Cool.
It's like, all right, cool. I'm going to go ahead and turn up the music a little bit.
Yeah.
And what I do for Lyft rides is I pick a kind of a good mainstream song that I like, but that I think isn't like, you know, screamo metal or Swedish industrial rock or something like that.
Right.
And I happen to pick Crowded House, Don't Dream It's Over, and just say, great, make a Apple Music, make a station out of this. And so it's always stuff like Crowded House, Finn Brothers, Neil Finn, associated bands around that, and then just kind of other things that kind of go along with that music.
Sure.
And I turn up the music, and it just happens to be on a Finn Brothers song called Edible Flowers. Just kind of a, I don't want to call it a throwaway track, but it's from one of their more recent releases.
Sure.
And I turn it up and didn't even really hear more than 2 or 3 seconds of it before he goes, oh, what a good song. Oh my God, I love this song. I'm like, oh, really? Yeah, what's it called? I said, it's called Edible Flowers by Finn Brothers. And I have the display on my in my car just shows it as what's currently playing.
Yeah.
And it's like, Finn Brothers, Edible Flowers. I like this song. Oh, I'm going to play it right now. And he proceeds to pull out his phone, pull up Spotify, and play on his phone the same song that I'm currently playing in my car at the same volume.
All right. So wait. So I also want to point out he gained some knowledge. All right. Some knowledge about who the band was and sure, why it's okay, good.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then he went and turned it on, and then showing apparent lack of social knowledge, played it on his phone while I was playing in the car. That's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
So I'm like, yeah, that's the song. And of course, his song starts at the beginning. Mine is all, you know, halfway through. So it is just a freaking cacophony. And then his mom pulls out her phone and is yelling, you know, in Spanish and whoever she's deciding to talk to. I'm like, oh my God, get me out of this car as quickly as possible. Here are the keys. Drive yourself to where you need to be. I'll take a lift to my car and get it when you're done.
No kidding, dude. I would have been so annoyed. I'm annoyed right now at nothing. I wasn't there, but I'm annoyed by this story.
Just like, what the heck? Who does this? Yeah, am I getting punked right now? Like, who
really
does this?
Weird, dude. Really weird. Anyway. Also, anyone who says this whole, it's our knowledge that's the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
They can't within like 5 seconds. They're going to have other knowledge happen, and they're not going to acknowledge it.
Yes, exactly. Like, you know, our lives are constant absorbing of things around us, and each of those things is a piece of knowledge. And so it's, you know, it's growth. It's
yeah. And don't come at us with emails.
It's not black and white. Like, yeah.
Don't come at us with emails going, well, what he means is worldly knowledge versus spiritual knowledge. Don't even start. At me with that, please. Yes. My inbox doesn't need it, okay?
You can take that right.
I'm not even gonna finish that. Just don't do it. Well, yeah, anyways, none of that. So you finally dumped him off. That's good. And he gave him a new song. Look at that.
And I gave him a new song. And you know what? Power to him. It's a song that if you had played for me, I wouldn't even have been able to tell you the title because it was, you know, just kind of a B track from that album, which had a lot of good songs, but that wasn't one of the standout tracks.
Yeah.
But hey, you know what? Maybe I've turned on a new fan to the Finn Brothers. And
there you
we'll
go.
See what we got.
Hey, guess what else is in the world? The Bible. Guess what that is? It's worldly knowledge. Knock it off. Knock it off, everybody.
Oh, you know the Bible, do you?
Oh, you do? You mean that piece
did
of paper?
Did you know it before you knew about it? No, you gained that knowledge.
That paper and leather thing that you got in your house that has knowledge in it, you dumbass? All right. No patience.
Well, Tina and I also gained a little bit of knowledge. We had our mystery date for September, and I took Tina, this was me picking the date for us, I took Tina to a chocolate shop in Boulder called Peace, Love, and Chocolate.
That sounds logo. Great. Look at that.
Yeah. They make cakes and candies and things like that, and they do classes up there. And we learned how to make a flourless chocolate torte and a chocolate souffle. And
do you want to see pictures? Should I put pictures up?
Please post. You can post the pictures. They're awesome.
Look at these, you guys. So this is first. I'll start. Let's do a little teaser. There's the chocolate. Right. That looks awesome. I want that now. Can't eat it, but would. And then you got. Yeah. Look at that.
Not sugarless, but flourless. Sadly.
Look at this all-American couple in there. Look at them working.
Their little aprons.
I feel like Guy Fieri's just around the corner. He's about to yell that something was gangster after he tastes it. Look at that. That's amazing.
Gordon Ramsay's. You know, we actually even talked to our teacher. Our teacher, who was awesome, really mellow guy. Jeez, Louise, Boulder mellow. So like even more mellow than your average mellow.
Yeah.
He talked about, I've thought about just doing a surprise class where I just act like Gordon Ramsay the whole time and yell at people for, you know, not mixing their, not getting the stiff peaks from their egg whites before they mix in their chocolate.
Stiff peaks. I love that term.
Stiff peaks. Yeah. I had to.
It's a great word.
You know, a lot of people think it's, you know, you put your mixer in there at high speed with the egg whites. You beat them till when you lift up the mixer. And you see stiff peaks in the bowl itself. What you're supposed to do is, obviously, you turn off your mixer, you pull it out, but then you flip the mixer upside down, and it's the stuff on the blades that should be staying upright and not folding over.
Oh,
to make stiff peaks.
That's again, some knowledge I didn't have, but prior.
Yeah,
to
there we go. I've dropped some knowledge, a knowledge bomb on you. Yeah, boom.
Fat knowledge. Hey, I'm looking at a close up of this chocolate thing you made. Yeah, it looks like like ketchup and mustard. What are we looking at here? What is that?
The ones that we're holding. So we learned also how to make a two sauces, a raspberry coulis, and then an egg yolk. They're two different sauces, and you put them on both the flourless tort or put them on the souffle. Mm. Yeah, almost like a custard, but it's a sauce. And
that sounds so good.
So freaking good, Scott. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you don't have to convince me. These pictures have sold it. That looks awesome.
Almost a lemon curd sand rider, but it wasn't as lemony as, like, there was lemon. You know, I take that back. There wasn't any lemon in the yellow one, the egg white or the egg yolk sauce. It was sugar and egg yolk and vanilla and a liqueur. And I'm trying to remember what the liqueur was. Oh, it's the cherry one. It's the Kirsch.
Oh.
And then the raspberry coulis did have lemon in it just to cut the tartness of the raspberry with a little bit of sour from the lemon, which was great. I mean, just so good.
So now, anyway. Paul Hollywood was there.
I like that. That should be his name, Pollywood.
Pollywood. If yeah. Paul Hollywood was there, what do you think you'd have gotten there? A handshake? What do you think?
I might have gotten a handshake. I doubt it. I would have gotten a... you know, your chocolate is very flavorful. It's, you know, it could have been mixed a little bit more. I'm seeing some streaks in the top of the souffle.
Seeing some streaks.
Yeah.
That is totally something he would say. And if he didn't, if he gave you a handshake, I don't want to talk about what he would try to give to your dear wife. Because he's known
we all know what, yeah, exactly. I did not have a soggy bottom on either of my creations.
Oh, nice. Well done. I like the masking tape name tags. I think that's pretty hot.
Yeah, that's so that when they put them in the oven, they know exactly whose souffle reigns supreme.
Yep. Supreme and souffle.
Let's just say it was a dude wearing a goofy Hawaiian shirt. Let's just say that.
Let's say it. I say it too now. All right. Well, that's awesome. Let's play a game. Normally Dunaway's here. He has work stuff, so he's not here today. But we're gonna play anyway. And this involves one of you at home calling in. So you're going to want to dial this number, 801-471-0462, if you'd like to participate. This is an over-under style thing. What do we call this? High-low.
We call it over-under, high-low, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to play a little high-low on the show. And if you are the lucky person I pick, well, then you'll be in here. Again, that number 801-471-0462. Here's our theme. Okay, here we go. I'm going to answer a call. Let's see who this is.
Okay, all right.
Got to grab it here. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
For the last time, Johnson, REM rebound. It's when you go to sleep in the morning and then the dreams happen again.
That's called REM rebound, like REM. Why not REM rebound? Why not, because
then it would be the album that came between Stand and Document.
which one had Orange Crush in it? Because that's the one I don't want to dream about again. All right. Well, I'm not going to forget it this time, Tally. This is, it's now burned in. I'm good. I promise. You believe me? Probably not. Yeah, I don't think he did. Welcome. You're going to be today's contestant because you called in, and we're happy to have you, as always.
Yay.
Hey, Brian, how does high-low work, and how are we going to do this?
Sure, I'll tell you. So welcome to a game of TMS high-low, because I haven't come up with a name to piss off that one listener yet. I'm going to ask Scott a number-based question. He's going to give us an answer, and then Tally, I'm going to turn to you and ask you if the actual answer is higher or lower. We're going to do five of these, and if you're correct for at least three times out of those five questions, you're going to win a prize package that includes Duke Nukem Forever. Duke Nukem Forever, the Doctor Who, cloned me, yeah. fooled people there,
yeah.
And Duke Nukem Forever, Hail to the Icons, yeah. Hail to the Icons, I fooled myself with that one.
What shocks me is that there were two full DLCs for the game Duke Nukem Forever.
Right, I had no idea those two existed.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So maybe those made the overall game better. That's what we need to see is the scores for... The Doctor Who cloned me, and Hail to the Icons.
That's right. The glass is half full, folks. We got the DLC.
That's right.
So
that's right.
You could exactly. You could be the fancy winner of that. I can't wait to see if you win.
Well, To win, you gotta answer the you gotta tell us the over under, the high low, and to do that, we need to actually ask Scott the questions. Let's start with number one, Scott.
All right.
Since their 1917 debut, how many different types of Girl Scout cookies have been sold? So not how many boxes have been sold, but how many different types of Girl Scout cookies?
And this could include both expired or ones they don't do anymore, plus current ones.
Absolutely includes ones they don't do anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 30.
Okay. 30 is incorrect. Tally, is the actual answer higher or lower than 30?
How long have they been selling?
Since 1917.
A long time.
17.
Yeah. That was right before. Wait, was that the year? No, the year before the Spanish flu wiped out everybody.
Right.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Yeah. The year was 1917. Here's the sentence. Brian asked Tally if the actual answer was higher or lower than 30.
Yeah, that's a sentence. That was good.
Let's, you know what? I need to be higher too, so let's go higher.
All right, always go higher. I love it, Brian.
The actual answer is 56. 56 different varieties of Girl Scout cookies. Thin Mints, which sell 50 million boxes per year, 50 million boxes per year, account for 25% of all the Girl Scout cookies.
Of just Thin Mints. That's insane.
Just Thin Mints, 50 million boxes a year.
That feels like
25% of their.
That's some kind of racket, man. That's insane.
That is a cookie racket.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good news is that means Tally has a point.
Yep.
Let's move on to question two. Scott.
Yeah.
Not including Alaska, which you just visited.
I did.
What percent of the U.S. is farmland? So you take the other 49 states, what percentage of the U.S. is farmland?
Not including Alaska. I'm going to go 38%.
Okay. 38% is incorrect. Tally, is the actual answer higher or lower than 38%?
Yeah, I think it's higher.
The actual answer is
47.2.
Just it is higher, but not a whole lot higher. Nebraska, for example, is 93% farmland, but Maine, only 7% of Maine is farmland.
That's why they always give the excuse that we'll never have a high speed rail across this country because there's too much dead space in between everything.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be cost effective. Which I don't know if I believe that or not, but that's what they always say.
Can't we go above the farms?
I mean, can't we go under them?
Under? Why not both? Yeah. All right. Well,
nicely
very
done.
Good. All
we
you need is one more,
two
Tally,
for two,
and
you've
won the prize.
Heck yeah.
Let's get to this one. Scott, how many cups of coffee does the average Dunkin' Donuts store sell per day? So not the whole nation of Dunkin' Donuts, which is just called Dunkin', but just one store. How many cups of coffee do they sell in one day?
Okay, on average per store, average. I'm going to give it 2,000 cups per day.
Okay, 2,000 cups. Tally, is the actual answer higher or lower than 2,000?
So just doing the math in my head, like at 2,000 on an average 8-hour working day, that's actually a shit ton of time. So I'm going to go lower.
Lower. All right.
The actual answer is 438 cups of coffee a day. much lower.
She got it right. What am I saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
She
exactly.
was correct. I was wrong.
Tally, you're our winner. The first Dunkin' Donuts opened in Massachusetts in 1948, and they're still opened, and people still use it for directions to get around Massachusetts.
So I'm going to tell you real quick, the reason I said 2,000 was I was doing some math the other day, this brand new condo set up of condos, and then a library across the street, and some other cool stuff just opened near us.
Sure.
And we were thinking those bottom floors of these condos were empty because they're going to be retail space of some sort. So we were looking at what the price would be to rent or lease that space per month and figured out that if you were opened a coffee shop and all you sold was coffee, the rent was high enough that you would have to sell at least 2,000 cups per day. I think it was per day if you were open every day but Sunday.
Sure.
To make ends meet.
Oh my God, why wouldn't you be open on Sundays? People love coffee on Sundays.
I agree. But now it makes me think that it wouldn't be, like, no one's going to build a coffee shop there because I don't think they can make it at those prices. Well, I don't know. We were
something other than coffee.
I guess so. They'll have to do pastries and all that crap. But yeah.
I mean, Scott, if you have a full 8-hour employee making one coffee 1 minute working with no breaks, that's 480 coffees.
Yeah. But if you had, oh, that's a lot more than 2,000 per day.
A lot less than 2,000.
There's a lot less than 2,000. Yeah. So they're not going to make it, is my point. There's no way they can pay rent. Or maybe they could do, oh, I see.
Yeah.
They need
five employees all making one cup of coffee per minute for 8 hours.
I love that idea. Everybody on one cup at a time. That's amazing. All right. Well, Tally, as you can tell.
Kid's the winner.
Kid's the winner. Why is that in there?
Congratulations.
Yeah.
You're a winner.
I didn't mean to play that, but.
Listen, I've already prepped two other questions. Let's go and see how you do with these other two.
Oh, yeah. Why not? Let's do it.
Yeah. All right, you've been to San Francisco, or have you been to San Francisco, Scott?
Oh, I have, yeah. A bunch of times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How many of San Francisco's iconic cable cars run on a normal day? So they've got the tracks all around the city. You can get from the Castro District to the Presidio.
To the wharf. Go to the wharf.
To the wharf. I am not a merry man.
that's a pretty good Michael Dorn, by the way. I'm going to go with...
Thank you, though.
Oh, geez. I've ridden on him, even. It's not that big of a city.
I've seen the Rice-A-Roni commercial, too. I mean, you know.
I really don't know the answer to this. I'll say 40. 40 of them.
40. Okay. All right. 40. That's incorrect. Tally, is the actual answer higher or lower than 40?
There are four members of the band The Fray, and they have a song called Cable Car.
They do? Yes.
So let's go lower.
Oh, I like your logic. I see how you sussed that out.
I
well
like
done.
It. Yeah.
It is lower. It's 27, not that much lower, but only 27, like 27 cars running constantly. Yeah, you can wait at a line and get a cable car in about 30 minutes. And there are like five different cable car lines or six or something, I think.
Yeah.
They go 9 miles an hour, and they serve about 10 million riders per year.
Yeah, and it's way better than walking because on average, every 2 or 3 inches, there's human poo to step in. So get on the car. Do the cable car. It's kind of messy.
In San Francisco, there is?
Oh, it's so bad right now, dude. That place is a mess.
Oh, Scott, never go to Paris when the street cleaners are on strike.
Oh, I'll bet.
Jeez.
I'll bet it is because, you know, the French and everything. Tell Patrick I told him to. But the, obviously, some of the touristy areas in San Francisco are cleaned up pretty good, but there's like, they got a problem right now. It's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to.
All right, last question. And don't think of Bleeding Gums Murphy because he never did this. On average, how many seconds does it take to sing the Star Spangled Banner at the Super Bowl? So in all the 52 years that we've had the Super Bowl, and I know it wasn't called the Super Bowl for the first two. How long, on average, does it take for somebody to sing the Star Spangled Banner?
How long? Oh, gosh.
In seconds.
Well, it's at least 60, I think, because they always drag out that last bit.
Yeah.
And make it ridiculous. Then you go really high. Right. And then people are clapping, so they pause, and that's the worst.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going to go 2 minutes.
2 minutes, so 120 seconds.
Yeah, 120 seconds.
That's incorrect. Tally, do you want to take a guess, higher or lower? Is it higher or lower than 120 seconds?
I'm actually going to agree with chat. 69 seconds is less than 120, so let's go lower.
69, nice.
69. Nice. No, Scott, you were actually only 2 seconds off. 118 seconds on average. Just 2 seconds shy of 2 minutes.
No? Yeah.
I win.
Yeah.
Still
oh, yeah,
back.
Oh, yeah, you
still
win.
Win.
That is, still win. Sorry. That is correct. Yes.
Here, I'll give you two of them just lower. To make up for it. Yes. Yeah, there you go. Double.
Yes. But, yeah, Alicia Keys had the longest at 155 seconds, and Billy Joel's was only 90 seconds.
Really? He just ripped through it.
He just ripped well, through it. Like,
yeah. I'm moving out.
Exactly.
Amazing.
It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday, and the bombs and the red glare, and the home of the free and the brave.
I love that so he just applies one of his own songs to it. That'd be amazing.
So Billy Joel's version is about a New York minute, then.
Yeah, there you go. And a New
well
York
played,
minute.
Tally.
Nicely well done. Played. Well, you've won. So that means Brian's sending you this code. Yeah. Brian, do you have Tally's email? Do we need to get it?
I'm sure I've got it. Yeah, yes. She's sent me a ton of stuff over the years.
Yeah. There's
requesting, needing this and asking for that
sure.
and wanting the. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Look, she's a PhD. There's a lot going on. Up there in that head of hers.
That's right. That's right.
So get that going, and you've won. I can't think of anyone I'd rather have win this prize today than you, Tally. That's not true. Any of you could win. It'd be fine. All right, that's it. thanks for calling in and hanging out with us. Hey, Brian, you know what that means at 10:03 a.m. It's time for us to take a break. Before we do, though, we have somebody who sponsored today's song break. Could you tell me who it is? Who is it?
Sure. Now live on Kickstarter until the end of the month, Lycan, Solomon's Odyssey, Chapter 2, a beautifully illustrated 72-page graphic novel continuing the story of the world's first werewolf. This book delves into ancient Arabic folklore, mythology, and horrifying monsters, while also touching on themes of PTSD and grief and opening the world up to magic. Please. Check it out and share it with others by going to lycanbook.com. That's lycanbook.com and check it out today.
Yeah, this art is insane.
It's so cool. And
I
Dennis is such a great guy.
Oh, he's a totally great guy. So do check this out. The Kickstarter runs through Sunday. We have 6 days to go. So this is now the time to jump onto that.
It's
if
down
any of this
to the final week. Get on it, people.
Yep. We'll talk about it the rest of the week as well. But get in there. Again, that's Lycan Solomon's Odyssey Chapter 2, available on Kickstarter. Or, as Brian said, go straight to lycanbook.com.
Lycanbook.com.
All right, Brian, let's dive into that song I warned people about. What are we doing today?
Oh, I hope you gave them ample warning because, you know. Oops, and I picked the wrong one. Now, hold on. I mean, I didn't pick the wrong one. I put the wrong one in my notes.
Dope.
What's that? 1 second. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Got it. Okay.
Brand new album that just came out. This album came out today. Technically, actually, it came out Friday, September 23rd, but my email says today. Mm. Brand new album from an artist by the name of Arkellis. Not to be confused with R. Kelly. Arkellis is spelled A-R-K-E. I'm sorry, Arkells. A-R-K-E-L-L-S. Brand new album is called Blink Twice. And they're celebrating the new release with a show at London's Electric Brixton. They're currently on the Blink Once Twice tour in UK, Germany, and Canada.
Whoa.
But you can hear this song right here from the brand new album. Oh, a lot of great guest stars, by the way, on this one. Tegan and Sarah. Who else? Lights, Kurt a Pirate and Ali and AJ, Wesley Schultz from the Lumineers.
Oh, I love the
and
Lumineers.
This one,
that's awesome. All right.
Yeah. And this one, which features the Cold War Kids, here's Arkells and the song Past Life.
I wanna live this life instead. the moment or the city where I come from. Right now I'm feeling like a stranger. Don't recognize the voice inside my head, 'cause I'm running from a past life. I wanna live, I wanna live, I wanna live, I wanna live this life instead. Time. Let's make it right here in this life. After all we've been through, there's nothing left to lose. I'm sick of running from a past life.
Running from a past life.
I don't care about the next one.
I don't care about the next
one. Am I running from the moment?
Running from the moment.
Or the city where I come.
Friggin' pharmaceutical boner. I want a boner made from love.
I think we're moving along a little too fast.
As the man around here, you can quote me on this. Is the morning stream.
Now, Scott Fletcher, for all of his strengths, one of them he doesn't talk about much is his singing voice. He has a great singing voice.
Great voice, yeah.
We don't hear it enough on here. Christine, go make him croon to you tonight. Brian, tell me again who that band was and what that song was.
Yeah, the band is Arkells, and the new album is called Blink Twice. It's great. The whole album is awesome, and I had a hard time picking which song I was going to play for you today. I settled on the one you just heard, Past Life, which is Arkells featuring Cold War Kids, again, from the brand new album, Blink Twice.
Very nice.
Yes.
All right. Let's get
nice rhyming there.
Yeah. Stan. Pretty good, right? Let's get Steven in here. Let's have him show us what for.
Steven Schleicher. Steven Schleicher.
Hey, you guys, look who it is. It's Steven Schleicher, the very man who we comes here on Mondays and talks about cool pop culture stuff, comics, movies, TV stuff, what have you. We didn't have him last week because he was busy, had some stuff, but he's back. And it's good to have you here, Steven. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Oh, man. It's good.
Hello,
to
Steven.
Always, I don't know, there's something comforting about Steven's segment. I can't really put my finger on it, but it's
I'm
always like this moment of. Yeah,
of
like a warm blanket. Like a warm, totally weighted blanket that smells
because
of jasmine.
Yes, thanks for mentioning my overweightness there, Scott.
Oh,
I have a big warm weighted blanket.
I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. I have a 25 pound weighted blanket and I freaking love it, but that's
oh, yeah,
all
we
I
do
know.
Too. And it's great.
It's amazing. Let's talk some stuff here. Things, you know, going on at Major Spoilers are never ending, but in particular we're going to talk about the Scanners television series. Now, I for one am a big fan of anytime I forgot his name, the director
Cronenberg.
Cronenberg makes anything. I really want to see his new one that just came out with the some body horror thing called I forgot the name. Is it just called Bodies? No. What is it?
Oh, isn't it right. Anthology? It's an anthology, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know. It's got
I don't know.
Viggo Mortensen and which I guess they haven't hooked up since the last time they worked together.
Crimes of the Future.
Crimes of the Past. Oh, Crimes of the Future. That's it.
Okay.
Oh, now the chat's saying it. Yeah, Crimes of the Future. I really want to see that because something about Cronenberg movies. Can't put my finger on it. Just the guy's a weirdo, and I like weird, and I'm all in on weird. So we'll watch that. But he made this movie, Scanners, which we saw in FilmSack as well. And it's famous for lots of reasons.
When did you guys watch that on FilmSack?
You did, and we loved it.
Oh, geez, when? Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a couple of years.
It's been a couple of years, for sure.
Something like that. But, you know, can't think of his name. No names are coming to
Michael
me today.
Ironsides.
Michael Ironsides, blowing people's yes. heads up. It's fantastic.
That's right. I can't even remember what they actually do, what the scanner people actually do. I just remember that if they do it for too long, their heads blow up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so scanners are people that have super psychic powers, right? So that they can control things, do things, and they can
telekinesis
even,
and whatever telepathy
cause people's heads to blow up and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And that movie, again, with Michael Ironside, is being turned into, or in the process of being turned into, an HBO series where Cronenberg is involved. I don't think he's the director on this, but he is. He's going to serve as the executive producer, and this time it's a pair of women who are living on the edge of society, and they are trying to topple this vast conspiracy of government officials trying to use scanners for their evil purposes.
The arrangement here is a bit like the Coen brothers with Fargo. They don't direct, they serve as executive producers in kind of name only, but they basically have their seal of approval on it. He has his on this, which to me is like a big ringing endorsement. If you're going to make a scanner series, you kind of want his blessing, I think. Mm-hmm. So that's good to hear. And I'm all in on this. This is an HBO thing, so it'd be nice and bloody.
Yeah.
You know, probably have a booby in it.
I mean, a booby.
Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully it'll be on HBO. We don't know what Zaslav is doing this week. But, for now, let's say yes. Maybe it'll get me to resubscribe.
To Disney, or no, Discovery HBO Max Plus is what you'll be subscribing to. So this is a ways off, I assume. We don't have a date.
Yeah, we don't have a date now, although this is a project that has been in the works since 2017. Mm. So my guess is we're probably looking at, with all these names that are attached, including William Bridges, who is the writer and will be showrunner of the series. He did Black Mirror and Stranger Things. Mm. My guess is we'll probably see this in 2024.
That sounds right. Couple years, yeah. Real quick, when we were all teenagers, we're all roughly the same age, the three of us.
Yeah.
When we were young teens, there were always, if you went to a video store, Blockbuster or mom and pop store, didn't matter, there was always a certain handful
smell?
Of covers. Oh. There was always a smell too, but there was a handful of VHS covers, basically small movie posters is how those behave, right? On top of a thing that would always just stay in my memory.
Yeah.
And I've got a whole bunch of them, but one of the ones, probably in the top three, that always stayed in my memory was the Scanners cover. And all it was Michael Ironside's kind of stiffly looking screaming. Like this in his
right.
face
with
all
his
weird,
eyeballs
his eyes bugged out.
Like eyes rolled in the back of his head, little veins popping out on his neck or his forehead.
Yep. I never saw it then. I saw it when I was in my 20s for, I can't remember, Halloween or something, but I never saw it then, and it was forbidden. My mom wouldn't let me get it. And I just could not get that image out of my head. The other one was Cat's Eye, I think. That one always got me. And
interesting, which is like a anthology, like Tales from the Dark Side kind of.
Oh yeah, totally. That's right. It was. We also film sacked that, I think.
No, I always remember. We haven't yet.
Didn't we? I thought we did.
No.
Why is that in my head? Oh my gosh.
I always remember Videodrome as a cover that stands out, The Thing and The Shining.
The Thing is another one, yeah. Yeah, that's one of the. And The Shining, yeah, I guess The Shining would be up there. And I did see The Shining when I was a kid, and it freaked me the hell out. Oh my God.
And then flash forward to today, and Skeletor is eating Brian's toes.
My toes.
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst horror movie of all. And Brian, you're right. We haven't done Cat's Eye, and I swear we did.
Yeah, no.
I hate
I've been
that.
Wanting to. I want to.
Maybe we can sneak it into October. I don't know.
Oh, it would fit. If it's the problem is it, you know, streaming anywhere? And I don't think.
If we can get it.
That's not that Stephen King movie, is it?
It is.
It is.
Which one am I? Oh, really?
King anthology with
a little troll that's stealing the baby's breath.
Yes, is one of the four stories.
Spoiler alert, people.
I swear, just you saying that makes me feel like we watched it for FilmSack. I don't know why I think this. I don't know why.
Yeah, for some reason, I feel like you guys have talked about this.
I don't know why
we talked
either.
About it, but we didn't.
It's really weird. Yeah, Life Force is another good one. Cole says in the chat. Pet Cemetery.
That is a movie that I went to go see my cousins when I was like, I don't know, 12, and they were all 17 plus. Mm. And they're like, "Hey, we're going to go see this movie, Life Force." And I'm like, "But can I get in?" And they're like, "Yeah, you're with an adult." Excuse me, I'm going to sneeze. Yeah, you're with an adult, and that movie gave me nightmares. Excuse me, months.
That was the word months pronounced in sneeze language. That was great. I enjoyed that.
Ah.
How you feeling? You good? You're not one of those three in a row guys, are you?
Sometimes two, but
okay.
Today is one.
I'm usually a twofer as well, but I've got friends that are if they don't do five, something's wrong.
Anyway. My youngest son is one of those that if he goes outside and it's bright and sunny, he starts sneezing.
Oh my gosh.
He's got that sun reaction.
Yeah, babies do that a lot.
Yeah.
Especially. They take him out in the sun for the first time and they're like, achoo. All right, so scanners coming. It's happening. Watch for that. Yeah, I'm excited about this. Also, let's relive the 80s with some action figures. These D&D ones in particular. Why are these back? What's the deal? Is it because D&D won't stop being popular? Is that the problem?
That's probably part of it. We also have the Dungeons & Dragons movie coming out with Chris Pine, so why not double down and relive the 80s once more with some Hasbro Dungeons & Dragons, the animated series action figures. Mm-hmm. They've got them all, including there is a two-pack. It's not listed here on the site that I gave you, but there is a two-pack with Dungeon Master and what's his name? Cringer? I forgot who the main bad guy was.
Oh, well, Cringer's definitely not him.
No. But
I'm trying to find it here. Inspired by his coach. I don't see the name.
These are really cool. I mean, these should be really cool. They're 6 inches, so they're not the little tiny 3 3/4 stuff that your Star Wars stuff is. These are going to be kind of beefy, and they come with accessories. They come with dice. So if you are wanting to build up your base set, you can get a D20, a D12, a D8, all that stuff is in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks pretty cool. Now, the only downside, if you're going to get all of these, which I'm very tempted, if I had the money, which I know, mm-hmm. If I had the money, I would grab all of these, but they're $25 a piece. And so what have you got? Like 5-6 kids plus the 2-pack. You're probably looking at about $300 total when you get this, but They are really cool looking.
I found the bad guy. It's Venger is who you're looking for.
Venger, that's his name.
Yeah, it's very close to Cringer. Venger, Force of Evil, voiced by Peter Cullen back then. So you're Optimus Prime. Yeah.
Optimus Prime, yeah.
There he is. I'll put him up for the chat to see him. He's pretty cool looking. No nose. He has no nose. He's got kind of a...
that's pretty... Well, yeah. Spoiler alert for a 40-year-old TV show. Apparently, if you watch the unaired finale, it turns out like he is Dungeon Master's son.
Oh, weird. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Like in this final episode, he goes through this incredible transformation back to a human. And it's like, oh, a father. Oh, yes, son. And turns out that Dungeon Master and
you're making me want to watch Avenger this thing. And that's terrible. I don't want to watch it, but I do because you said that.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
But look at that. That's a really cool looking action figure.
Yeah. Super look how poseable. Articulated it is. You got knee articulation, elbows, and hands turned.
This is Hasbro, right? This isn't even Todd McFarlane.
Yeah. Right.
And you can immediately get some cologne and set it on fire and burn that little unicorn. That shitty little unicorn needs to go as soon as you can kill it.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah. What pastry does that smell like?
Yeah. All the wrong ones is the answer to that question.
Right.
Well, anyway, relive your childhood today or soon. The Goon and Eric Powell return to Dark Horse Comics. How is that even possible? I thought this went to somebody else. What happened?
For a long time, Eric Powell left Dark Horse to do The Goon on his own. He was having some varying different release schedules. He also wanted to do kickstart an animated series based on The Goon and just do stuff on his own. Well, now he's bringing all of that stuff back over to Dark Horse through the Albatross imprint. And for people who have not checked out The Goon, Eric Powell's art is super fantastic. But think like Hellboy meets Great Depression meets, H.P. Lovecraft.
It's so good.
I haven't thought about The Goon in so long, but the goofy hat, the weird look. Yeah.
The art is some of my favorite stuff. It's all... stylized, very, very cartoon based, but also really depthy and colorful. And it's amazing. The Goon is great. This is good. That's a good catch for them to get that back, I think. And also more regularity would be nice,
Yes, I would like to see that as well. I don't know what Powell's schedule is, but I guess we're looking at this stuff to start showing up in 2023. So a few months from now. I don't remember seeing it in the Dark Horse solicitations for January, so we're probably looking at February, March before these start hitting. And Dark Horse has done a really good job of gathering other things back up. Like, they currently have the Usagi Yojimbo stuff from IDW Publishing. And so we should be seeing a lot of really nice collections coming from this as well.
Nice. Well, if you're new to the Goon, I highly recommend it. Even back issues, if you can get them.
You can get the back issues without a problem.
Yeah, it's an awesome series. Well, all right. As usual, lots happening over at Major Spoilers. I'm sure there's other stuff, though. Why don't you tell me about it? What else is going on over there?
This week on Major Spoilers, we are back into our Drifters game. So if people want to know what Starfinder is all about and want to laugh their butts off while we play the Starfinders game on Critical Hit, it comes out every Saturday morning, 8:30 a.m. And we're going inside someone's brain right now in the story. So a lot of good times over there with the Critical Hit podcast.
Hey, did you see, we don't have to talk any spoilers because there aren't really any, but did you see Andor yet, either of you?
I did.
I didn't do what I wanted to do, which is watch all three together. We watched the first two. We're going to watch the third one.
That's
tonight.
What I think you need to do, because my youngest was, again, my youngest, he's like 12, yeah, but he really likes everything Star Wars, was really geared up for this. After the first episode, he's like, this is boring. Mm. After the second episode, he's like, please, like, make it stop. Mm. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll stop. And then I went back later and watched the third episode. I was like, no, if you watch this as back to back to back, which is the why they probably released them in three parts.
Two full hours.
Yeah. It's a solid story that needs some tighter editing.
And that middle bit is super short. The middle episode, second episode.
It is. It's the 30, between 2 45-minute episodes. Yeah,
it's odd.
Yeah. But no, I enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to the third episode. Mm-hmm. So I'm not falling into that, like, oh, man, if I would have watched all three of these at the same time, I would have liked them.
Yeah, same deal. I think you're absolutely right, though. This is very adult realism-based kind of, this is what I want, actually. This is 100% what I want out of Star Wars
and
stuff.
And no little Easter egg-y kind of things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fan service stuff.
None of that.
Spoiler alert, Cashin dies.
Yeah. If you've all seen the movie that this character is based on, you know how things went. But but everything else feels fresh and new. It's not stuff I've already been told.
And it's
dark
with actors. I mean, it is a full environment. This is not the book of Boba Fett.
No. But if you ever wanted to see Baron Harkonnen and Harry Potter's weird aunt in the same TV show, I got good news for you. They're both in here. That was weird to see her, because that's Harry Potter's mean aunt who plays the lady who rescued him. Anyway.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, her eyes just hit me, and I went, I know that face. And I immediately looked it up. My wife was annoyed because I'm like looking at my phone while we're watching
it. The one from Killing Eve, too, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Same lady, right?
An actress, yep.
I never finished that. I need to catch up on that. But anyways, it's awesome. If you're looking for a darker take, a more realistic kind of gritty thing, the kind of on the ground stuff that I love, almost cyberpunky in some ways.
You know, I was going to say the whole opening sequence of episode one, I was like, holy crap, this is what Blade Runner today should be like.
Yeah, it's like Blade Runner in a bunch of ways. It's awesome. I love it.
Could you imagine if they had done Solo this way?
Oh, dude, it would be so much better movie. Like, I would have loved Solo. So my problem with Solo is too clean. It's just too shiny. You know, you gotta dirty things up, man. You gotta go deep.
Rough it up, grunge it.
Yeah. If you're not gonna have, look, I'm all for the Jedi side of things, great, whatever. But I like it when they get gritty. And that's what I liked about Mando. Mando was, you know, that way for a long time until it wasn't. It's still fine. I still like it. But, you know, I don't think you need to rope Jedis into every Star Wars tale. I think you can try to tell a story outside of that. That's what I liked about Rogue One. There's no Jedis in that, really. Mm-hmm. So more of this. I'm excited for this thing to play out. Really like it so far.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Well, there you go. Majorspoilers.com. Major Spoilers on Twitter. And I'm a little thirsty, Steven. What should I do to...
You should stay hydrated.
Oh, well, damn it. That's an idea I hadn't thought of. All right.
What do I tell my riders in my Lyft car when I pick him up from the airport and there's bottles of water in the back of the car? I say, stay hydrated. Oh, thanks, Steven.
Thanks for your great idea of staying hydrated.
That's right.
All right.
All because of him.
It is all. Yeah, purely. We'd all be dead if he hadn't said it. Yep. That's the way I look at it.
Totally.
All right. We are done. However, reminder, we got some stuff coming up today. For example, so I've been doing the diary again. I haven't done it in years.
Yeah.
Or I should say a year. It's been a year since I did them.
It's a good outlet for you.
It is. And I used to really love doing it. There's some 260 something episodes. So I've been doing it forever since like 06, I think. And wow. There's big chunks of time in between where I stopped or whatever. But lately, I don't know, just was a nice cathartic thing to have. So I've decided to start doing it more often, little 15-minute, 20-minute chunks. If you had not heard that show, it's available up on the Frog Pants site, frogpants.com/diary, or look for Diary of a Cartoonist wherever you get your podcast. That's the full name of it, although I'm kind of rebranding it a little. Anyway. That's all there. Hey, Brian, anything coming out of you guys today? Got any music?
Yeah, Hammond and I recorded for the patrons, recorded an episode of our movie kind of review. I mean, basically, if there's a movie out there that's musically related, whether it's a concert film or a documentary or just a movie that has a great soundtrack, we do it for our patrons. And this last week, we released Some Kind of Monster, which is the Metallica documentary about their Saint Anger album and the creation of that, and how you basically watch the band almost implode during this thing. It's kind of like the anti Beatles Get Back documentary, mm-hmm. right? It's like band that thinks they're on the edge of breaking up versus a band that has no idea that they're on the verge of breaking up.
That's true. Anyway, you watch Hetfield and freaking what's his beak, the drummer,
Lars. Yeah, Lars Ulrich, the two of them go at it,
dude.
Everything Lars says has to be said with so much drama.
I know.
Yeah, I think I will have some extra mayonnaise on my sandwich.
She would drive me crazy.
Oh, every single thing. Yeah, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah.
When I did the whole Napster thing, I thought I was going to be hailed as a hero.
It's a good documentary, though, and I didn't know about his painting stuff. That was all news to me.
Yeah, no kidding. And watching him, like, in the background selling his artwork and stuff at the auction, it's great.
Yeah, it's really good. Anyway, that's awesome. Check it out. Available now.
Yeah, so if you're a patron of Soundography, you can get that. If not, then you can become a patron of Soundography and, you know, get that.
Yeah, why not? If you like music, great show. Okay, filmsack.com, frogpants.com/TMS is our website. You can support us at patreon.com/TMS. Like the new guy we got since we last spoke. His name is Mailman. Mailman.
Mailman.
Yeah. And he
talked about it before. Mailman.
Yeah. And he also joined us on FilmSack, and inspired a comic I drew last night that I haven't posted anywhere yet. So Mailman, be on the lookout for a really dumb joke I made that was inspired by your name.
Oh, right? Can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'll put that up later. Anyway, so there's that. Frogpants.com/TMS, as I mentioned. And check us out tomorrow for a brand new TMS. TMS. Where we'll do our usual tomfoolery for a Tuesday. I think that's it. Yeah, that's it. Let's play a song. Do you have one?
I do. Greg wrote in, said, "Hey, Brat and Skyen, my double nickel birthday is the 25th of September, so I would like to request a song. I love the Peter Gabriel song Shock the Monkey," and his name in the chat is GF Sock Monkey. "So I would love to hear a cover of that. My go-to version is the Coal Chamber version, but I put my trust in the cover master. Thanks, Greg, aka GF Sock Monkey." Well, I've got a lot of versions of the song. And there's a great Don Ho. Yeah, the Hawaiian crooner, Don Ho. I've got a great Don Ho version. I've got a version by the C-Nuts, the Woodbridge Brothers, Joseph Arthur, and Ben Neal featuring Andrew Montgomery, a cool, like, loungy style cover. Mm. But I also do have the Coal Chamber version, which was a single they released in 1999. And since that is your go-to version, let's play that one. It's, boy, does this thing have a hard edge to it. If you've been complaining, oh, you guys don't play enough heavy rock and metal and meh, meh, meh. Well, here you go. Here's Shock the Monkey by Coal Chamber.
Let's see you guys tomorrow.
Cover me when I run. Cover me through the fire. Something knocked me out the tree. Now I'm on my knees.
8 to 8.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Kids a winner!
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.